भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्, देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाय मुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 2 एंटाइटल महाराज निमी मीट्स द 9 योगेंद्रस। टेक्स्ट 8। अहम किल पुरानंतम प्रजार्थो भुवि मुक्तिदम अपूजयम् न मोक्षाय मोहितो देव मायया। अहम किल पुरानंतम प्रजार्थो भुवि मुक्तिदम अपूजयम् न मोक्षाय मोहितो देव मायया। अहम् किल पुरानंतम् प्रजार्थो भुवि मुक्तिदम् अपूजयम् न मोक्षाय मोहितो देव मायया। अहम् किल पुरानंतम् प्रजार्थो भुवि मुक्तिदम् अपूजयम् न मोक्षाय मोहितो देव मायया। अहम् किल पुरानंतम् प्रजार्थो भुवि मुक्तिदम् अपूजयम् न मोक्षाय मोहितो देव मायया। अहम् किल पुरानंतम् प्रजार्थो भुवि मुक्तिदम् अपूजयम् न मोक्षाय मोहितो देव मायया। माताजी, अहम् किल पुरानंतम् प्रजार्थो भुवि मुक्तिदम् अपूजयम् न मोक्षाय मोहितो देव मायया। ट्रांसलेशन। अहम् आई किल इंडीड पुरा लॉन्ग अगो अनंतम द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड who is unlimited, praja artha, wanting a child, bhuvi, on the earth, muktidam, the Lord, who awards liberation, apujayam, I worshipped, na mokshaya, not for liberation, mohita, bewildered, Deva Mayaya, by the illusory energy of the Lord. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. In a previous birth on this earth, I worshipped the Supreme Lord, Ananta, who alone can award liberation. But because I desired to have a child, I did not worship Him for liberation. Thus I was bewildered by the Lord's illusory energy. Purport. According to Sridhar Swami, the word killer, meaning indeed, it is true, it is said, or as is well known, indicates that Vasudev was remembering the words the Lord had spoken to him when the Lord had appeared as four-armed Vishnu in the prison of Kamsa. Srila Jiva Goswami states that from the anxiety of Vasudev, which is expressed in this verse by the words Apujayam na mokshaya mohito deva mayaya, it is to be discerned that Vasudev had heard of the curse of the Brahmanas at Pindaraka against the Yadu dynasty, and that he could understand from this curse that the Lord's disappearance from the earth was imminent. Vasudev understood that the Lord's manifest pastimes within this universe were coming to an end, and he now lamented that he had not directly taken advantage of the opportunity to worship Krishna, to go back home, back to Godhead. Significantly, Vasudev has used the word Muktidam to describe the Lord. Muktidam is a synonym of Mukunda, or that personality who can give liberation from the cycle of birth and death. It is stated in Vedic literature that even the demigods are bound to the cycle of birth and death, although their lifespan is inconceivably long by earthly calculations. It is the Almighty God alone who can free the conditioned soul from the reactions to his previous sinful activities and award him an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. So rest of the purport will be covered tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. In a previous birth on this earth, I worshipped the Supreme Lord Ananta, who alone can award liberation. But because I desired to have a child, I did not worship him for liberation. Thus, I was bewildered by the Lord's illusory energy. Hare Krishna. So, we are reading from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this particular verse, Vasudev, the father of Lord Krishna, he is expressing his feelings where he says, in his previous life, he had worshipped the Supreme Lord Ananta, who alone can award liberation. But when the Lord was there before him, he, instead of asking for liberation, because the Lord can give liberation from the cycle of birth and death, but instead of asking for that, he's saying that I asked for a child, you know, which is, I did not worship him for liberation, I just asked for a child, desired to have a child. So this happened because I was bewildered by the Lord's illusory energy. So it's a wonderful thing, you know, that Vasudeva is saying here. Just to recount the past time, when Lord Krishna appeared in the jail of Kamsa, you know, when he appeared in this material world, at that time he he appeared in the four-armed form, dressed with, you know, yellow garments, gold and beautiful. He appeared in the Vishnu form. And then he actually spoke to his parents, Devaki and Vasudev. And in speaking to them, he told them that in previous lives, you were Sutapa and Vrishni, and Prishni. So he says that, you know, you were, so Sutapa was one of the persons who was given this task, given the service of being a Prajapati. Now, Prajapati means what? They are supposed to procreate and create children in large numbers. The whole idea is that they have to populate the entire material creation. So, as Prajapatis, their role and their service was to have many children. However, Sutapa and Prishni, they preferred quality over quantity. So, instead of immediately starting with their service, they actually performed austerities for many, many years. It is described, you know, the Lord describes to them that you performed austerities for 12,000 years. So, one can imagine 12,000 years, what kind of, you know, what kind of devotion that must be, that they controlled their senses after being married, after being given the service of being, you know, Prajapatis. They did not immediately go about it. They said, let us prepare our consciousness. And, you know, for 12,000 years, they, you know, performed austerities, performed devotional service. And it is described that even the food that they ate was only the leaves that fell from the trees, the leaves that fell from the tree and were dried, that is all they would eat. So, with such an austere lifestyle, they performed devotional service for 12,000 years. So, it's very difficult for us to even imagine. Of course, in the age, in that age, people had longer lifespans. But even in that long lifespan, this kind of austerity is unimaginable. It's not very common to hear. We have heard about Vishwamitra performing, you know, austerities and tapasya for 60,000 years. But then Vishwamitra was, you know, he was alone. He did not have his wife with him. He was alone. Whereas Sutapa and Prishni are a married couple, but still they did this austerity for 12,000 years. So it's wonderful. That is the kind of tapasya they did. And therefore the Lord was very pleased with them. And he appeared before them. Lord Ananta appeared before them. And when he appeared, he asked them, you know, what do you want? And here Vasudeva is describing that here the Supreme Lord is standing before. You know, he could have asked for anything, could have asked for liberation from the cycle of birth and death. But they preferred, they asked for a child. They asked for a child, and because that was their service. You know, they were in the role of Prajapatis, and after having done this austerity, they could have easily left actually, but they asked for a child. And the Lord Himself says that, you know, by my illusory, I was the one who bewildered you and made you ask for a child. Because God knows, maybe, you know, God knows, God only knows that maybe Sutapa and Prishni might have actually asked for, okay, please give us your eternal association, and left this material world. Could have happened like that. But the Lord describes here that He preferred to keep them within this material world because He wanted to appear in three incarnations. Thrice He had to appear for different purposes. The Lord says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Whenever there is a decline in religious practices, you know, I appear. So the Lord wanted to appear. Anyway, He knew that this schedule, I'm going to come. So, when the Lord appears in this material world, Srila Prabhupada explains that even when the Lord appears, He needs to have some mother and father. Of course, not always. Narsingdev did not need mother and father also because there was emergency. He just appeared. But otherwise, most of the other incarnations of the Lord, we see that they have come through some mother and father whenever the Lord comes in a human form. So, Lord needed mother and father. Who better than this wonderful couple? So, the Lord arranged, you know, for them to speak like this and ask for a child. And He said that I will appear as your child thrice, three times. First, as Prishni Garbha. Now, in this lifetime itself, I will come as your child Prishni Garbha. And it is described very soon, Prishni, she became pregnant. And, you know, the Lord appeared as Prishni Garbha. Then subsequently He said, in another life, you will be Kashyapa and Aditi. And I will be born as Vamandev. You know, I will be born as your child Vamandev. And then subsequent to that, you know, when you will come as Vasudev and Devaki, I will come as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I will appear in your family. So this is the wonderful benediction that the Lord gives to Sutapa and Prishni. And Vasudev is remembering these words. He is remembering these words that the Lord had spoken to him. When He had spoken? In the prison cell. In the prison cell, when he is born as 400 Vishnu form, there he is speaking these words to Vasudev and Devaki. And Vasudev is remembering these words. And it is his humility. He says that I was bewildered since I didn't ask for a child. I didn't ask for liberation. Whereas actually we can understand, you know, one is that it was because he had a service of being a Prajapati. Therefore, you know, he had to produce children. But at the same time, we can understand why he asked for the Lord to appear as his child is because, you know, in the future part of the purport, there is discussion on this. So I'll not cover that. But the Lord wanted to come in his family. And for Sutapa and Prishni, this was Vatsalya Ras. You know, having a desire to have the Lord as one's child is Vatsalya Ras. That I want to serve the Lord, Supreme Lord, as a parent. That is Vatsalya Ras. But in his humility here, Vasudev is saying that, oh, this was just my bewilderment. You know, I could have asked for so much, but this is what I ended up asking for. So, Srila Jiva Goswami explains in this context, in the purport, about in what, you know, why he is remembering this and, you know, what is the meaning of these words that, you know, where the Lord says, Apujayam na mokshaya mohito deva mayaya. So, why he is saying like this, you know, that I could have asked for liberation, but I asked for a child, you know, so why did I do this? So, Jiva Goswami explains that Vasudev as a father, he's a father, ultimately. And though he is the father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a father, he was worried because he had heard about the curse given by the sages at Pindaraka. And he knew that very soon the Yadu dynasty is going to come to an end, because the curse of a sadhu will never go untrue. You know, there had been many instances where Narada had said something and it comes true. So Vasudev knew this. So he was obviously concerned that very soon the pastimes of his son, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are going to come to an end. So as a father, obviously he is very, very worried about this thing. He is feeling that, oh, the, you know, this wonderful opportunity that I had of being the father of the Lord in three lifetimes, this is now going to come to an end. This pastime itself is very, very painful. How the Lord arranged for the, you know, wiping out of the entire Yadu dynasty. When this curse, how it came true, the Lord in later chapters of the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that the Lord at one point asked all the Yadus. He told them that, chalo, I am seeing a lot of bad omens now. It is time for us to leave. We should leave Dwarka and we should go to Prabhashetra. And we should perform austerities there. But once the Yadus came to that spot, by the Lord's illusory energy only, they started fighting amongst each other. Now we can understand that this is, of course, it is happening by the will of the Lord. But at the same time, we can also understand that how somebody who is very much in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead day in and day out, who is so attached to the lotus feet of Krishna, how such people can suddenly forget who they are, whom they are with, and start fighting with each other. So it is described that one started fighting with another, another one joined in, another one joined in, people started taking sides and started fighting. The fighting soon became violent. It became so violent that they took out their bows and arrows and started killing each other. You know, suddenly, you know, a small tinka, as they say, a small spark, and with that spark it developed into a huge bonfire. And soon they ran out of weapons, so they started picking up the canes which are lying on the banks there of the river, and they picked up those canes, and those canes became iron rods and clubs. So those canes were the outcome of the curse of, you know, the sages, where that iron, you know, lump which had been powdered and thrown into the sea had come to the banks of the sea, and over there canes had grown with that iron in them. So the moment they plucked those canes became iron rods and clubs, and with that they started beating and killing each other. And Krishna, as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, he tried to stop them, though of course it is by his desire that it's happening, but still, as his duty, he tried to stop them. But when he tried to stop them, Krishna and Balram tried to stop them, they attacked Krishna and Balram. Like we see, you know, sometimes in a street fight, when two people are fighting with each other, a big crowd gathers. Then one person tries to stop, you know, hey, ruko, you know, tries to come in between. Aur usko bhi wo aisa maar deta hai. So his ego also gets incensed and inflated, and he also starts fighting, and then uska koi supporter rehta, dusre side ka supporter, and then the whole thing, it becomes a big gang fight, you know, like that. So that is how this fight was spreading, and they attacked Krishna and Balram also. So Krishna and Balram also joined the fight. So that was the, you know, that was the excuse needed for them also to join, and then the numbers of people getting killed obviously expanded tremendously, and one after the other, entire Yadu whole army, all of them, it's described, not just the Yadus, but even the allied people who were, you know, allied with the Yadus, they also, one by one, all of them got completely wiped out. And in the end, only people remaining were Krishna and Balram. So it is almost reminiscent of the killing of the armies of Jarasandh, where, you know, Krishna and Balram would go out and fight alone. They would destroy the entire army, and in the end, only Krishna, Balram and Jarasandh would be remaining. And Jarasandh would be released, and then Krishna and Balram would go back to Mathura. So like this, only Krishna and Balram were remaining. So then Balram, you know, he sat down into Yog Nidra and he went back to spiritual world. And then Krishna goes to a particular place and under a tree he sits with his left leg on his right knee. And he also, you know, goes into meditation. That's when the hunter Jara shoots that arrow which hits the foot of the Supreme Lord. So this whole pastime is going to unfold in a few, you know, in a short period. So Vasudev, in anticipation of this, out of fear, he already knows that this is going to happen. He is in great pain. You know, no father likes to see their own son leaving, you know, before their eyes. And we can imagine, you know, it is always said, like in the previous chapter, there's a description of the Brahmana, whose son, you know, died in front of his eyes. And there's a whole elaborate description given about how if this happens, if a son dies in front of the father, it is, that means there's something wrong. Dharma is not being followed. So Brahmana goes and chastises Ugrasen that how you could do, you know, you're not a proper Kshatriya. You're not able to protect over here. And like that. So it's a very unnatural thing for a son to die in front of father. And it's a very painful thing also, because one can imagine to bring up a child is a huge activity. You know, we tend to take it for granted sometimes, but to bring up a child is such a huge challenge. It's a lifetime project, as Radha Gopinath Prabhu always says, that it takes an entire village to bring up a child. Nowadays there is no village available. So it becomes only responsibility of the parent and the teachers. You know, the parents tend to outsource to teachers, teachers tend to outsource to parents, and both parents and teachers outsource to tuition teachers, and we hope that the child, you know, becomes something nice. Itna sab seekhe, kuch toh achha hoga uska. But still, it is a huge sacrifice to bring up a child over a period of time. You see, slowly, slowly, you know, teach the child how to walk, then how to talk, then how to eat, how to bathe, how to wash oneself, how to behave in society, how to behave in amongst Vaishnavas. There's so many things. It goes a long, long way. You know, to bring up a child is a very long drawn process. And Vasudev and Devaki, in fact, they didn't even have the pleasure of Krishna's association as a small child. They saw him after he was already grown up. But still, they have seen Krishna, they have been with him for so many years, and then thinking about the fact that Krishna will leave, not only he will leave, everyone else in the whole Yadu dynasty, whoever you hold dear, all gone. You know, it's obviously a very painful situation. You know, we remember a couple of years back, maybe 5-6, I don't remember when it was, 5-6 years back, when there was this plane crash in Nepal. And some of our devotees, almost I think 8-10 of our devotees were in that plane and it crashed, and so many devotees just gone in 1 second, you know, with whom we have spent 15-20 years, some of them we have known for so many years. Suddenly in one go, so many devotees are taken away. How painful it is. It's not a nice situation. You know, when we speak about death, we always give this example, why the death of a person is, when a person dies, it is compared to the death, to the sting of 42,000 scorpions. Why? Because at the time of death, everything and everyone that we hold dear is taken away in one go. In 1 second, it's all snatched away from you. So it's very painful for the person who's dying. If you are very attached to your family, you're very attached to your assets, you're very attached to your body, you're very attached to your education, all of it being taken away. So it's obviously painful. Now imagine taken away in this way, where they all die in front of your eyes, right? That is even more painful. So therefore, in the anticipation of this is going to come, therefore he is feeling very, you know, he's feeling very sad, he's feeling very unhappy, thinking about this, that this, the Lord's pastime of leaving is going to come. And also there is a sense of regret in his heart. He's also having a regret in his heart somewhere, that despite having the Lord in his home, you know, you imagine what is the fortune of the Yadus. We cannot imagine what is their fortune. Sometimes we have a devotee in our home, you know, we have the deities in our home, But we don't have an appreciation of that. Because ghar ki murgi dal barabar, as they say. You take your home family members for granted. You tend to see that they are, theek hai. Because we can see their shortcomings, very closely. If you are very close to somebody, you are able to see their good qualities and the shortcomings. And the natural tendency is to focus on shortcomings. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in your home, He is living with you, day in and day out you see Him. Then one may think, when the last moment is coming clear, coming nearer, at that point of time, one may have this fear that, the Lord was in my home, but what have I done? I have not utilized this to become a pure devotee. I have not utilized this to go back to Godhead. Maybe Vasudeva was feeling, better I, leave this body before I have to see this horrible sight of, the Yadus killing each other. So this is the anxiety that Vasudeva was having, Jiva Goswami explains. So for devotees, it is always a very painful thing, The appearance of the Lord and the pastimes of the Lord are very blissful. Some weeks back, I'm not able to remember who, but few weeks back, somebody was mentioning this in a lecture. That the appearance of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord are very blissful, but the disappearance is very painful. Nobody likes to hear about the disappearance of the Lord. If you see, many of the primary incarnations of the Lord, we only read about their appearance. How they appeared, from where they appeared, at what time they appeared, in what way they appeared. So, these things, details are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But how they disappeared, precious little is there. Very little is given. Details are not given about how they disappeared. Because even for the devotees who are writing, who are recounting these pastimes, it is much too much painful for them to even recount the tales of the Lord leaving. If you see, we speak about Narsingdev's appearance from a pillar, but where it speaks about when he left, how he left, doesn't speak. Lord Ramchandra in the Ramayana, there's a long description about his appearance, how he appeared, his childhood, his youth, and then he ruled for 11,000 years. That is also given in very short. And then in the end, he left. But that left is just like a small detail, just thoda sa ek diya hai, but not much detail is given. Of course, only in the case of Krishna, some details are given, but there again, it is painful to hear. For the devotees, the disappearance of the Lord is always painful. So, devotees do not even want to consider this possibility. For us also, we are so attached to our own relatives, our god brothers, our friends. So if we come to know, when somebody is there, when somebody is, with us, we always tend to take for granted. But when we come to know that so-and-so person has maybe developed cancer, and last stage, suddenly that thought strikes you, that feeling starts coming in the heart, I didn't spend enough time. I wish I could have taken more association of this person. I wish I could have served this person a little bit more. Now maybe it is too late. So then we go and we try to serve, we try to do whatever we can. But of course that person needs it the most at that time. So that person is very grateful for whatever they receive. But still in the heart of the devotee there is always that regret. That tinge of regret is there. That I took this person for granted. I offended this person too much. I did not really serve the way I should have served this devotee. And when someone is leaving like that, we get great pain in our heart. Even the Lord, when people, devotees come to know that the Lord is going to leave, even if he's not leaving this material world, he's just leaving that place. Even if he's leaving the Leela Sthali, the devotees cannot tolerate. It becomes too painful. Like we see when Lord Chaitanya, he decided to take sannyas. When he decided to take sannyas, what was the reaction of the devotees? They were devastated. It is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. There was no discussion per se of the Lord leaving Navadvip or Mayapur. Aisa kuch the Lord had never said. He just said, I am going to shave my head and become a sannyasi now. So just the thought of separation from the Lord's form as it is, as we are seeing now. We are seeing the Lord's form in a particular way. Now I will never be able to see that form again. I will not be able to see the beautiful curling locks of Lord Gauranga. Even that thought was intolerable. So Nityanand Prabhu, he is begging of the Lord, and he is thinking in his heart that what will happen if we don't see the Lord? And then immediately they start convincing Lord Chaitanya, don't do this. You know, Lord Chaitanya has given them the logic why he wants to do this. Gaurang Mahaprabhu has given them the logic that he wants to do this because he wants to preach, he wants to spread the holy name, and he wants to give Krishna to everyone. But what is the reaction of the devotees? That is all right, but why do you need to take sannyas? They can't tolerate the thought that the Lord is going to leave in some way, some form he is going to leave us. And then they start giving him so many reasons, so many justifications they give that why is it necessary? So Gadadhar Pandit tells him that, just by shaving your hair, preaching is going to happen? You think devotees will become devotees? People will become devotees? What about your mother? You know, Nityanand Prabhu asks, what about your mother? She will die if you leave her. Once you become sannyasi, you cannot live in this home. She will die. How can you do this? It's not right. So in so many ways they try to convince him not to become a sannyasi. So even the thought that the Lord then assures them that it's okay. I am not leaving this place. I am going to be in Navadvip Mayapur only. I am just taking sannyas so that I can preach. But then it is very difficult for the devotees of the Lord to accept. It's a very painful thing. Even when the Lord wanted to go to South India, he was living in Puri. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to South India, again the devotees started saying that, my God, my Lord, you are going to leave? You must take some of us with you. The Lord has very clearly said that I want to go alone. I want to go alone and I want to preach. But what does Nityanand Prabhu say? So who's coming with you? Aapke saath party kaun hoga? You know, how many devotees will go with you? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then, one by one he explains that why these devotees cannot come with me. He explains, Nityanand Prabhu, what to speak of you, all of you devotees, when I wanted to go to Vrindavan, tumne mereko redirect karke you brought me to Shantipur, And you, Nityanand Prabhu, when when I am going walking towards Jagannath Puri, you took my danda and you broke it in three places. So what how can I take you along? Then he speaks about Jagadananda. How Jagadananda is, he's always getting angry. He always gets angry with me. If I don't engage in what I am doing the way he wants it, he gets angry. Then he speaks about Damodar, Sarup Damodar. He says that he is so strict, he's always chastising me. And like that he speaks about various devotees. And in a sense he is criticizing them, but Srila Prabhupada explains that even in that criticism he is actually praising them. That what love they have for me, that they are always caring for me. They are always, wanting to be with me, they always want to take care of me so that I don't, do something wrong. So the Lord is glorifying them like that. But for the devotees, it is very painful that how can we let you just go like that, my Lord? Because if he goes on South India Yatra, they of course know he is Supreme Lord. There is no harm that is going to come to him. It's understood. But still, out of concern, they try to dissuade him. They try to, tell him that, okay, my Lord, maybe you can take some of us with you. Because that separation is too much. They can't tolerate the separation of the Lord. And they want him to take them with him. And then finally, Nityanand Prabhu suggests that why don't you at least take this boy, Krishnadas? He's a simple Brahmin and he's not troublesome. You at least take him with you. So finally, that is the arrangement the Lord leaves. And even when the Lord wants to go to Vrindavan, when the Lord wants to leave, so now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is living in Jagannath Puri. And many times he wanted to go to Vrindavan, right? Even the first time when he wanted to go, he was, pulled away and he went to Shantipur. Then after that, many times he wanted to go, but somehow he never got the full-hearted blessings of the devotees. He used to always go to the devotees. So when he wanted to go to Vrindavan, he said, I'll go via Bengal. So it's very much out of the way. But he had this, he knew that the devotees in Bengal had a desire to meet him. Therefore, he said, okay, I'll go via Bengal. So before leaving, he was taking the blessings of Ramanand Rai, Paramanand Puri, all the devotees, he was taking their blessings that my Lord, I want to, my dear devotees, I want to go to Vrindavan. Can you please give me your permission? So like this, he takes their permission, and when he is leaving, when he is about to leave, at that time, Gadadhar Pandit also, along with all the devotees in Puri, they are all leaving with him to Bengal. Lord is leaving means we have to also leave with him. Because nobody can tolerate, already for 6 years, South India Yatra, is it six? For six, huh? 2 years. For 2 years they had already seen the separation. And now again he is going to Vrindavan, God knows when he will come back. So all the devotees are leaving with him. So Gadadhar Pandit also along with them, he is also getting up, getting ready and leaving. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stops him. He says, no Gadadhar, you cannot leave. You have to stay back. So when Gadadhar Pandit says, hears this, he says, stay back. Why do I have to stay back? My Lord, you are going to Vrindavan, I will come with you. Where is the question of staying back? So Lord tells him, no, you have taken Kshetra Sannyas. So Kshetra Sannyas means you have to be in that place only. You cannot leave this place now, Puri. So Gadadhar Pandit probably had taken Kshetra Sannyas because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, not because, you know, so much Puri. Because Lord Chaitanya is there, therefore he took Kshetra Sannyas. Now if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not there, what is the reason for me to be in Puri? So he tells he tells the Lord that, my Lord, wherever you are going, that is Neelachal. You are telling me not to leave Neelachal, but wherever you are going, that is Neelachal. And as far as my Kshetra Sannyas, let it go to Rasatal, let it go to hell. I am not interested in, you know, this Kshetra Sannyas, that is not important for me, my Lord, because the separation from you is so painful. I cannot be away from you. I have to come with you. But then the Lord, you know, very heavily comes down upon him and tells him, no, my dear Gadadhar, you must be here. And so finally he leaves. So in this we can understand that for a devotee, if the Lord is simply leaving, he's going to come back. When he went to South India, he's going to come back. When he's going to Vrindavan also, they know he's going to come back. But still, that thought that I will be separated from the Lord for so many years is just too painful. So these are the sentiments that Vasudev is getting. And on one side he is feeling that anxiety and pain and sadness that the Lord is going to leave. And on the other side he is feeling a regret that while the Lord was there, I didn't really do what I could have done. This is our situation also. You know, we also as devotees, we have the association of, you know, this wonderful movement. You know, we have seen when Srila Prabhupada started ISKCON, you know, in 1966, ISKCON was registered in the US. It was started in New York. Now, in New York, when the devotees were there, they felt that that's it. You know, there is a quote by Brahmanand Prabhu in Leelamrit, in Prabhupada Leelamrit, that we never felt that Swamiji and ISKCON is anything beyond our temple storefront. That's it. You know, matlab, even beyond what they call Lower East Side of New York, we never even thought of New York. We just thought of Lower East Side of New York, where, you know, our storefront is. That is ISKCON, that is Bhakti, that is what Swamiji will do. That's it. Nothing beyond that. There's a quote. So they all thought like that. So when, Shyam Sundar Prabhu went to San Francisco and from there he started sending letters that Srila Prabhupada, we are trying to find, a center over here. We're trying to create a center over here. You know, we will send you tickets. Now we have started, we are planning a rock concert and, we want you to come there and, many big bands are going to be there, but you're the central attraction. So he was again and again sending letter after letter to, you know, invite Srila Prabhupada, to attract him to come. And Srila Prabhupada was getting really charged up. Yes, San Francisco, we'll go there. And the devotees in New York, what they're thinking? Nay. What is this, Prabhupada? Many devotees try to discourage Srila Prabhupada that don't go. Are San Francisco, here New York, the hippies are little cultured hippies. San Francisco, they are complete hippies only. There is nothing, you know, it will be very difficult for you. And what is this rock concert? It's not Vedic, you know, it's not Vedic for a sadhu to be in rock concert. It will be horrible environment and this and that and so many things, you know. So for them, their life was Prabhupada. And everything was going very nice because Prabhupada was there. Bhagavad Gita, he was taking lectures on Bhagavad Gita. It is described that he had started also taking lectures on Chaitanya Charitamrita. He started speaking on Chaitanya Charitamrita also with the devotees. So Lord's pastimes, they were hearing from Prabhupada directly. Well, it's like pancho ungliya ghi mein, as they say. You know, it was like that kind of a life. And then suddenly, Srila Prabhupada said, okay, so now it's organized. So Shyam Sundar sent a letter that it's done, Prabhupada. You know, the place is there, everything is there, now you have to come. And then Prabhupada said, okay, now let's get a ticket and I have to go. That time it hit their hearts like a thunderbolt. Till then they were in denial, as they say. You know, sometimes people go into denial. Even if they know something is happening, they close their eyes that no, it won't happen. We deny. So the devotees also went into denial, but then finally Srila Prabhupada left. And then from San Francisco, so many, and Prabhupada used to say that San Francisco is there, then we'll go to Germany, we'll go to France, we'll go to China, we'll go to Russia. So all this Srila Prabhupada is saying when all of ISKCON is only one storefront, one small, you know, small little place. So Prabhupada had the vision that we'll have devotees in China and Russia at that time. Why? Because one devotee is saying, we will go beyond New York. Beyond Lower East Side of New York, we will go to San Francisco. So Srila Prabhupada is saying, if one devotee is doing this, then more devotees can go to other countries also. So look at the vision, look at the faith that Srila Prabhupada had. And this is the pain that devotees went, you know. So we also as devotees, we have this great facility. You know, we have Shri Radha Gopinath, Shri Nitai Gaur Chandra Gopalji. We have the association of all these wonderful devotees of Srila Radha Gopinath Temple Congregation and all its satellite centers. We have this association. We have the association of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and many other sannyasis who come here. So this association is so rare. It is so wonderful. If we look at the outside material world, what kind of a miserable situation is there? You know, you just have to step out of the temple to know what kind of misery is there in the outside world, what kind of addiction to Maya is there in the outside world. We just have to step out and we'll see. So we should also, when we have this facility of the association of devotees, of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of the holy name, we have this facility to chant the holy names attentively, with intensity. We have this facility. You know, yesterday I had read some quote somebody had sent on, you know, on WhatsApp. Somebody had sent a message saying that asking Srila Prabhupada, you know, Srila Prabhupada, how did you do all this? You know, one disciple asked him that so many temples, so many centers, from nothing you have created. How did you do all this? So Srila Prabhupada said, the secret is in this. And he pointed to his bead bag. The secret is in the holy name. How many of us have that faith that the holy name is so powerful? Holy name is non-different from Krishna. You know, very few, of course, we have many over here who have that faith. But still, despite having that faith, despite theoretically at least knowing this, we don't take full shelter. We don't take full shelter. What do? We tend to postpone. Even when the Lord is there in front of us, He's standing here, Shri Radha Gopinath is standing right in front of us. But still somewhere in our heart, Lord is probably looking. When we come for darshan in front of the Lord, Lord is probably looking at us. Not probably, He is looking at us and He is thinking, ask. Ask for something wonderful. But we we don't have that. We somehow, we don't want pure bhakti. We may ask, you know, it's like lip service. With my lips, I am saying that, Prabhu, you are my friend. But in my heart, in my mind, I'm thinking, no, really, actually, I don't like you. I don't like you very much. But in my lips are moving like that, saying, I am your friend. So in the same way, when we come before the Lord, with our lips and with our words, we may be asking the Lord, my Lord, please make me pure devotee. But do we really want to become pure devotee? Pure devotee means what? Anya abhilashita shunyam. We have no desires. I don't want anything else of this material world. I don't want any comfort. You will not get tasty food. No problem. You will not get comfortable bed to sleep on. No problem. You will not have association of opposite sex. No problem. You will not have job. No problem. No income. No problem. Both sara cheez mang rahe. No, but pure bhakti means nothing. I will not ask for anything. Whatever Lord gives, He gives. By His sweet will, if He decides to give you something, He gives. But He decides not to give anything, willing to accept. Are we in that state? We are not. We are far, far away from that. So Lord wants to give bhakti. But we are like, no. Like that story of that old lady who was struggling with that, you know, sticks which she was carrying in the forest, and she prays, my Lord, do something, I'm struggling. My old age, I have to carry these heavy sticks. So she calls with so much intensity that Lord Narayan appears straight away in front of her. So much intensity she calls His name. And when He appears, He says, yes, mother, how can I help you? What do you want? And she says, my shoulders become very tired. Please help me to transfer to the other shoulder. The Supreme Lord is standing in front. You can ask for anything. But the foolishness of the lady, her viewpoint is so narrow that she only asks that transfer my bojh from this shoulder to the other. So when we come before the Lord and we have problems, and when we ask the Lord, my Lord, please help me to get rid of this problem. You know, I know I'm not supposed to ask, but still, thoda sa halka kar do, mera bojh. Mere is kande ka bojh jo hai, thoda halka kar do. So we are also behaving like that old woman who can ask for anything. We can ask for any great thing. You know, where this movement is a movement of mercy. It's a moment of great mercy. Imagine Lord Chaitanya, it is described like Maharaj in the Gaur Purnima lecture, he was mentioning, Radhan Maharaj, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to South India, he would only glance at people. He didn't even preach. Many people he preached. Some people, there was no preaching. He was just passing by and he just glanced at them. And just by the glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they became pure devotees. Their heart was overflowing with bhakti. This is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Just by His glance He can make us. When we look at Lord Gauranga here, we should understand that by His glance we can become pure devotees. Do we want? This is the merciful nature of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada also, you know, it is. I remember once in one Sunday feast lecture, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada was there, a very senior disciple. So he spoke for a nice, you know, 1 hour, 1.5 hours he spoke. After that, some devotees started asking questions. So one devotee asked a question, a typical that whenever there is a Prabhupada disciple, they ask this question. So Prabhuji, would you like to share with us what was your association with Srila Prabhupada? So this devotee, he just got a faraway look in his eyes for a moment, and then he said that my association, personal association with Srila Prabhupada, he said that once I was attending a program and Srila Prabhupada was walking past me and he glanced at me. That's it. That's it. His only personal association with Srila Prabhupada was that Srila Prabhupada glanced at him. That's it. Nothing else. And with that one glance, the potency of that one glance, the mercy that he received in that one glance, us ek glance ke bante 40 saal bhakti mein that devotee has spent 40 years in bhakti. This is the merciful nature of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. This is what is available to us. But what is our and available to whom? The most unqualified, the most unwilling, the most undesirable souls of Kali Yuga. We have this great, great fortune of receiving what? The most unqualified people, receiving the highest fortune in the entire creation. The direct service of Shri Shri Radha Gopinath in the spiritual world, in the mood of the Vraj Gopis. In the mood of Vraj Gopis, being able to worship Shri Shri Radha Gopinath in the spiritual world, this opportunity is available to people of Kali Yuga who have no qualifications, who are only disqualified. We have 95, 98, 99, varying percentages between 90 and 99.99 percentage of disqualification. That is our state. But with that state, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have this opportunity to directly serve Shri Radha Gopinath. What fortune! So we must not lose this fortune. Like Vasudev, at the end of our life, we should not have regret. Arey, aur thoda seva karta tha, toh kya jata tha mera? If I had done little bit more service, if I had done little more sadhana, I chanted 16 rounds, I could have chanted more. I had the time, I had the energy, I had strength in my body, but I chose not to. And it is choice, huh? It is not that we are choosing. Whatever we are doing, every moment we are making a choice. And we are weak in our resolve, we are weak in our commitment, we are weak in our consciousness that I can do more. But every day, every hour, every minute, I choose not to. I choose to do something else rather than pure devotional service. I choose. So, our tendency is to always postpone. You know, I'll quote His Holiness Radhanand Maharaj. He had once said this in a lecture that throughout life, throughout our life, always Maya, you know, Maya is always telling the non-devotees, those who are not devotees, Maya is telling them what? Don't surrender. Don't do it. Tumse nahi ho payega ye. Bahut mushkil hai ye Hare Krishna wale, bahut mushkil. Aapse nahi ho payega, mat karo. This is how Maya is convincing the non-devotees. And how she is convincing the devotees? You are doing bhakti? Wonderful. Well done. Keep it up. You must surrender to Krishna. But not now. Not now. It's too early. It's too difficult. Dheere dheere build up karo. Muscles cannot be built in one day. Ek din mein 16 mala koi shuru nahi kar sakta. 16 mala shuru karke ek din mein koi pure chanting nahi kar sakta. It's not possible. Don't even try. Dheere dheere build up karo. Meaning, not now. Don't surrender now. So Maya is telling non-devotees, don't surrender. And she is telling the devotees, surrender, but not now. Not now. So Maharaj is saying that whole life means what? Even till the point of death, Maya will be whispering in one ear, Krishna will be whispering in another ear. Krishna will be whispering, come, ho gaya. You have done it, succeeded, I am very happy with you, chalo, come back to Godhead. And Maya is whispering in the other ear, not now. You are not purified. Abhi bhi thoda time baki hai. Aur tumhara thoda desires abhi bhi fulfill nahi hua hai. So, even to the point of death, Maya will be telling you, not now. So, life means, whose whisper are you hearing? Our life means, whose whisper are you hearing? Are you hearing the whisper of the Lord? Are you hearing the whisper of the devotees? Whisper, no, they are shouting, screaming in our ears. Surrender! Don't waste your time. Don't look at anything else. Just chant the holy names. Take shelter of Bhagavatam. Take shelter of association of devotees. They are shouting in our ears. And Maya is shouting louder in the other ear that this is also important. Bhakti to theek hai, ye bhi karna zaruri hai. Mere ko kisi ne ye bola hai karne ko, ye bhi karna hai mere ko. So whole life we have to take decision between whose whisper we are hearing. If we hear the decision of, if we hear the whisper of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, as it is described, the giver of liberation, he says, Vasudev says in the translation, not even the most powerful demigods who are bound to, they can give you this great, benediction of liberation. Only the Lord Mukunda, the giver of liberation, Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, only He can give us liberation, and not just liberation. It is described in the purport that He can give us an eternal life of bliss. We can be blissful forever. Being liberated is one thing, getting liberated from the shackles of the material world. But then after that, what do? We can be in the blissful, eternal blissful association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world. If we just choose moment after moment to hear the whisper of the Supreme Lord, to take shelter of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then our life will be perfect, and we will soon, rather than regretting like Vasudev, we will have the opportunity with open arms to be welcomed by the merciful Lord Gauranga, by the merciful Shishi Radha Gopinath. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai.